So a couple of weeks ago, I saw a movie called A Hidden Life. Has anyone seen this? Okay. I'm going to ruin it for you, but it's out of theaters right now, and it's still worth seeing, even though you know what happens in this. So it is based on the true story of a man named Franz Jagerstatter, a farmer and devout Christian who lived in Austria in the 1930s. He lived with his wife and three daughters outside of a rural village where they spent their days working and playing in the fields and dancing and laughing and caring for their local church and sharing a quiet, happy life together with the others in their small village. But in 1940, after German troops invaded Austria, Franz was conscripted into the German army and made to fight for the Nazis. And while a lot of the men around him were kind of quietly resigned to having to do this, they knew that if they didn't, they'd be arrested and probably killed. So they were resigned to this, but Franz really struggled with it. He knew that Hitler was an evil man, and as a Christian, he wrestled with the morality of war. So he got several deferments as a farmer, but in 1943, he was called to active duty. So he reported to be sworn in, but refused to swear the oath of loyalty to Hitler and declared himself a conscientious objector. He was immediately arrested, taken to prison, where he was regularly beaten and abused until he was sentenced to death in a military trial. So all throughout his time in prison, the guards and Nazi officers would taunt him, saying, "Do you really think that what you're doing here is going to make any difference? Do you think anyone is ever going to know about what you're doing here? If you agree to fight, you might get to go home and see your family again one day, but if you don't, you will never see your wife and daughters again." And he really struggled with that. He did not want to leave his family alone. But still, he resisted. And the Germans continued to say to him, "What difference is this going to make?" At his trial, one of the officers said to him, "Do you imagine that anything you do will change the course of this war? That anyone outside of this court will ever hear of you? No one will be changed. The world will go on as before. You will vanish." Now, as you're watching the movie, you feel like it's building up to this point where what he's doing does matter. Like that his resistance does make a difference. And that he's going to inspire others to do the same. Or maybe the war will end before he is executed and he'll get to survive and go back home to his family. You just feel like he's going to be vindicated and that what he is doing will make a difference. But that's not what happens. After 4 months in prison, Franz was executed. His wife and daughters struggled to go on without him. Their life was very hard. And by the end of this movie, you're kind of sitting there left with this feeling of, was it all for nothing? Did his resistance, did his faith matter? And throughout the movie, you're thinking that this hidden life that the title refers to has to do with his prayer life, his life of faith, that he's constantly praying and calling to God for strength and help, that he has this internal life that no one around him can see, and that that is the life that matters. But by the end of the movie, he dies and the screen goes to black, and then this quote appears on the screen that I've put on the cover of the bulletin. It's by a woman named Marianne Evans, who had to write under the pen name George Eliot to have her work taken seriously back in the 1800s. She writes, "The growing good of the world is partly dependent on unhistoric acts, and that things are not so ill with you and me as they might have been is half owing to the number who lived faithfully a hidden life and rest in unvisited tombs." It's this idea that the things that make this world better are things that we may never know about or see. unhistoric acts. That many of the people who make a difference in this world will never be known to us. But how much worse would the world be without them if we all just blindly went along and gave in to the evil around us? We may not always be able to see the difference that faithfulness makes in the world. But God sees. And those lives that are hidden from the rest of the world are not hidden from God. And we see this in the Beatitudes. Jesus begins his ministry by proclaiming a series of blessings, announcing God's favor for those who are not typically favored by the world around us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not those who are rich in spirit, whose spirits are high and full, but those whose spirits are empty. Those who struggle with their faith and with a sense of the presence and love of God in their lives. They may not see God. But God sees them, and the blessing of God is for them because they need it. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are hurting and sad and have suffered loss, those for whom the pain of life is more than they can bear. They may not see God in the midst of their grief and sadness and pain, but God sees them. And the blessing of God is for them because they need it. Blessed are the meek, those who feel powerless, who get taken advantage of and walked all over, those who cannot speak up for themselves, and so no one else hears their voices. God hears their voices. And the blessing of God is for them because they need it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not those who are righteous, but those who are not and yet want to be. Those who are starving for the goodness of God in their lives. They may not feel close to God, but God is close to them. And the blessing of God is for them because they need it. Blessed are the merciful. Now this one might not seem like such a bad thing, right? Until you think about how the world around us can look upon acts of mercy. If someone hurts you or does you wrong, we're expected to stand up for ourselves and hold them accountable and fight back and get even. Imagine if after the terrorist attacks of September 11th, the United States had responded with mercy on Osama bin Laden. How would that have gone over? But Jesus says that those who pay back evil, not with evil, but with good, while the rest of the world might not see the strength of what they are doing, God sees, and the blessing of God is for them because they need it. Blessed are the pure in heart. Again, not such a bad thing, something we all strive to be. Until you think about what it means and what it takes to be pure in heart. It means that our hearts are singularly focused on God. Our lives are devoted to the kingdom of God, the will of God, and so we are not distracted by the temptations of the kingdom of man. We have to forsake the things of this world that everyone else just gives into and goes along with. Think about what that costs you. People don't always understand that. They think you're strange or holier than thou. It can be alienating and isolating. To push away the temptations of the world means that you will be pushed away by the world. But God draws you near, And the blessing of God is for you because you need it. Blessed are the peacemakers. You ever tried to intervene and make peace between two people who are fighting or at odds? It is not easy, and it's not fun, and it can be dangerous. To put yourself in between warring factions means that you can be the one who ends up getting hurt, emotionally or physically. And in a world that has wholeheartedly bought into the myth that violence can solve our problems, to make peace is viewed as weak. The rest of the world might not see the courage that it takes, but God sees. And the blessing of God is for them because they need it. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, those who are opposed and oppressed and abused for doing the right thing. And Jesus adds to that, blessed are you when people hate you and hurt you and lie about you because you are striving to follow him and you have set your sights on this bigger picture of a life lived in faithfulness and love. While the rest of the world might not see the value in that, God sees and God values it. And the blessing of God is for you because you need it. It's like Paul says to the Corinthians, the rest of the world may look at you and think that you are weak or foolish, but God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame what is strong. God chooses what is low and despised, the things that are not, to reduce to nothing the things that are, so that no one can boast in their own ability and say, look how wise and strong and faithful I am. Look what I have done to earn the love and blessing of God. Rather, God blesses those who are hurting and broken and looked down upon. Those who the rest of the world does not consider worthy of blessing. So that we might say, look how wise and strong and faithful God is. Look what God has made possible in and through me. The good news that Christ proclaims here is that wherever you find yourself in life, there is a blessing from God for you. When your faith is completely spent, and you are hurting and broken and tired, when the weight of life in this world is too much for you to bear, when you feel ignored and unloved and forgotten, when you feel like nothing you do matters or makes a difference, Jesus says that the blessing of God is for you because you need it. The Beatitudes cover the range of human experience, and what they promise us is that there is no black hole into which we can fall and disappear with God. No matter where we find ourselves, God sees us, and God is with us. Nothing is lost on God. No life, no matter how unhistoric, no small, simple act of faithfulness is lost on God. Author N.T. Wright says, every act of love, gratitude, and kindness, every work of art or music inspired by the love of God and delight in the beauty of God's creation, every minute spent teaching a severely handicapped child to read or to walk, every act of care and nurture or comfort and support for one's fellow human beings, and for that matter, one's fellow non-human creatures, and of course, every prayer, all Spirit-led teaching, every deed that spreads the gospel, builds up the church, embraces and embodies holiness rather than corruption, and makes the name of Jesus honored in the world. All of this, he says, will find its way through the resurrecting power of God into the new creation that God will one day make. So when we question, or when those around us question, whether this thing that we are pouring our time and energy into matters, whether it makes any difference, whether our lives will make any difference, whether anyone will know about this, whether we should just give in and go along with everyone else. When those questions come up, we are reminded that while the growing good of the world depends in part on unhistoric acts, these small, simple, ordinary acts of faithfulness and love that might be hidden from the rest of the world, nothing is hidden from God. God sees us and draws near to us and blesses us, especially when the world around us does not. You are not hidden from God. Your longing is not hidden from God. Your need is not hidden from God. Your pain is not hidden from God. Your life is not hidden from God. It is all seen and valued and loved and blessed. And so, as followers of Jesus, we must seek out those whose lives are hidden from the rest of the world and strive to see them as we are seen, to value them as we are valued, to love them as we are loved, and to bless them as we are blessed.